For English, press 1. For Stan and Bruce, press 2.
Thank you for pressing 2. And now, here are your hosts, Stan and Bruce.
Welcome to episode 47. 47 of the Press 2 podcast. How you doing, Bruce? Oh my God, I can't believe it's been 47
episodes. I'm good. How are you?
Great. It's been 47 episodes.
I know. 47 consecutive. Well, I missed a couple, but you know, I'm here.
Yeah. But we're almost at a year. In a few weeks, we'll be a 1 year anniversary.
53, right? No, wait, no. 52
technically.
Yeah.
But I think it starts in like
wasn't
July.
Last year a leap year? Doesn't that throw off shit?
No, it just throws it off by a day.
Oh. Well, it fucked up my pay period, but you know, whatever.
Unfortunate. So in pop topics, are you ready?
Yeah. Go ahead and pop that topic.
Pop topics. In pop topics this week, Vanessa Bryant, we have Drake Bell, and we have Cuba Gooding Jr. Let's start with Vanessa. Okay, so Vanessa is mad at Nike. Vanessa designed a pair of Nike shoes to honor her late daughter Gigi and, you know, her late husband Kobe. Mm-hmm. Gianna, actually, they call her Gigi. Thursday, though, Vanessa went on a social media rant fuming, calling out Nike after someone got their hands on a pair of the unreleased shoes.
Girl.
Quote, "This is a shoe I worked on in honor of my daughter Gianna." That's what she said. And then she also posted a photo of somebody's hand holding the shoe. I don't know where this person got the shoe. It's China. Like they have a closet. Huh?
Is it China? It's probably like some like fake clone or something.
Girl, I don't know. It's probably some YouTuber. She said that the shoe was going to be named Mamba Sita. Oh. And she said she picked the colors of the shoe to honor Gigi's uniform, which was black and white. So the shoe's black and white. And then it has like the number 2 on it. She claims that Nike has not even sent her a pair or her daughters a pair of the shoes. And she doesn't know how someone else got their hands on the shoes. She's now hoping that Nike does not sell the shoe. The shoe was going to be sold and the proceeds from the shoe were going to go to Mamba Sita Sports Foundation that she has. But she says that she didn't even sign a contract to sell them. And apparently the shoe was never approved to be made in the first place. So the shoe shouldn't have even been put into manufacturing yet. Like they hadn't even gotten that far. So somebody's dropped the ball somewhere. They manufactured the shoe without her knowing. And now somebody has it. And she finds out about it because there's a picture circulating online with somebody showing off the fact that they got it first.
And I would maybe focus on the people that are closer to her, not so much like Nike.
Yeah, but that's Nike's responsibility. I mean,
so like, for example, I'm wondering if it happened kind of like what happened with Little Nas X, that Nike was suing him for the shoes that he used on his video. So maybe like a third party kind of designed some Nike shoes with the idea.
No, she said this is the exact shoe.
Oh, it is the exact
shoe? She designed. This is the exact shoe. And it shouldn't have never been made.
That's somebody, so crazy.
Somebody, and the shoe shouldn't have been manufactured yet. It wasn't even licensed. It wasn't even, she hadn't even signed the contracts for Nike to even manufacture shoe and sell it. So she's calling out Nike and she's mad. And she wants Nike not to try to sell the shoe at all. She doesn't want anybody making money off of it. Because you know what happens to scalpers.
Oh, yeah,
completely. Ends up on, yeah, and that's not what the purpose of the shoe was for. I'm just happy to see her smiling. I follow her on Instagram, and so I hadn't seen her because you know how Instagram algorithms.
Yeah.
So I had to go to her page to, like, see her posts, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, I'm just happy to see that she's in a place now where she can actually take a photo and smile. Because, you know, I just could imagine what life must have been like for her still and what it was really like a year ago.
Oh,
so
completely.
The fact that she's out actually living life again, like, it's nice to see that she is at least able to crack a smile, you know, in a photo.
Right.
And yeah. And so, yeah. So I hope you get what you're supposed to get, Vanessa. If you ever want to come on the show, just let us know.
We won't be wearing like, those shoes.
We will not be wearing those shoes unless you tell us we can. Yeah. So Drake Bell. Remember Drake Bell from Drake and Josh, the Nickelodeon show?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's been charged with attempted endangerment of a child. But he pleaded not guilty. This happened Thursday. He appeared in court where his bond was set to $2,500 and he's ordered to submit a DNA specimen collection. Yo.
I kind of saw something about that, but exactly what are they charging him with? Like, did they go into detail?
They didn't. That's the whole. Yeah. So they've been keeping the case shut. And so when sources went to try to get more information, they won't say anything yet. But this is all you're going to get, basically, is what. So the people, the lawyers and the prosecute, all of they're keeping everything hush hush right now. But
yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, this incident allegedly happened, though, on December 1st of 2017. That's all we know, that it happened in 2017. And he's just now getting charges brought to him. And.
Well, he did have a couple of years ago, he got in a wreck or something. First of all, he's aged horribly. Josh looks better. Josh Peck. Remember, he lost all that weight and he like went into a transformation and actually getting good roles on movies.
He had a glow up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a glow up. Good for him. Drake Bell, not Drake.
It was supposed to have been the hot one back then.
But you know, like those people like usually girls. I didn't think he was hot. I thought he was dumb.
No, I'm just saying the girls used to always say.
Oh, yeah, yeah, completely.
Hot.
But he's aged horribly. And
I know, I didn't know he was our age. Where is he? He's 35.
Well,
oh my God.
Closer to your age.
Shut up, bitch.
But,
so rude. So nasty and so rude. Oh my God, I'm going to get that as a new sound. So nasty and so rude.
It'll be interesting to see what the charges are. But hopefully, I mean, knowing a lot of these people that are in Hollywood, we kind of maybe know what the charges are about. So, yeah, about that. Anyway.
Okay. Well, Cuba Gooding Jr., he's also doing bad. So the bartender that accused Cuba Gooding Jr. of pinching her butt. Remember her? I don't know if you do. But anyway, she won a default judgment against the actor after he failed to respond to her lawsuit for over a year. She sued him back in October 2019. She's saying that while she was serving him at Tao Nightclub the year before, he repeatedly tried to grope her backside. Apparently, this isn't the first time he hasn't been able to keep his hands to himself. He was also arrested in June 2019 for allegedly groping a 30-year-old woman's breast. And another woman filed a lawsuit against him last August, accusing him of twice raping her in a Soho hotel room in 2013. Cuba Gooding, put your hands and your dick in your pants and pockets, sir.
He's always been like this nice actor. I don't know. Like,
oh my God,
unproblematic, I guess.
I know, but you gotta look at the picture that they picked of him for that article. Oof.
You know, they're shady as fuck. So
he looks sleazy. He looks so gross. And you know, Cuba Gooding Jr. is always kind of hot. And so
he's always put together and presentable and just, you know. It's kind of like whenever the mugshot of Neo, remember? Do you ever see that?
Oh my God, I don't remember that.
Girl, he looked like that uncle at the barbecue that has let himself go.
Drinking all day?
Yes. You know, he's always wearing the hats and it's like, oh, he's not wearing a hat. And we now know why.
Okay, so... Speaking of mugshots, the Drake Bell mugshot from this week.
You need to go. I didn't see it. Does he Does he look rough? I mean, he looks rough.
No, he doesn't look rough, but he just looks like he didn't give a shit. Or maybe they pick him up when he was drinking and he thought it was funny.
Drake.
He almost has a smile on his face. He's just like, oh, he got arrested in Cleveland, Ohio, too.
What are you doing there, Ohio girl? Oh, yeah. He looks like he just like came from the casino or something. Like, is there a casino?
Yeah, what do they do up there in Cleveland? They go to the bar, I'm assuming. He looks like he just came from one of the bars in Cleveland.
Yeah, he just has this look on his face.
I was actually born in Ohio. I just wanted to put that out there. So no offense.
He just has this look
Ohio
on his
people.
Face that's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
I was actually born in a little town called Toledo. Not Toledo. Anybody else cares. So, Bruce.
So, Stan.
The time has come.
I thought you meant I was getting ready to lip sync for my life, but I'm like, I didn't even audition.
I mean, there's no auditions on your bros.
There's no audition. Well, I mean, moving on, I guess, to the Drag Race report.
Or lack thereof.
I wouldn't say lack thereof. I did watch the most updated episode of Down Under. And they this week's episode was whenever, you know, they pair kind of opposites to them to do a resemblance. So they brought in rugby players, which it was interesting to turn into drag queens.
I would love to see that episode.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have a WoW Plus or WoW Percent subscription, then you can watch it. It was actually a pretty good episode.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, it was good. So, and it was interesting because two of them are actually partners, like dating. And so it was a little bit of competition between both of them. And they were talking about that. And then they go, you know, the self moments. So I guess one of them is goes a little bit into talking about how growing up as a Polynesian person, he's very stoic and kind of ashamed of being gay. And so that was interesting, you know, kind of putting the humanistic side of but. Things into the show, but I guess it makes for good TV. So it was a good episode overall. Maxi Shield, now that you know any of this drag queens because you haven't been watching.
Well, excuse me, sir. Now you know how I feel when I'm talking about the Housewives by myself.
Well, at least irregardless.
That's what they all say. He's disengaging, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I'm not disengaging, but I am sidetracking or no, whatever.
You're
taking a shortcut to another subject.
anyway, subject.
Maxi Shield went home on Drag Race Down Under. I did watch Drag Race España last week. It's actually pretty good too. I think I was talking to you about how I have to have
the
subtitles.
I can't watch that one, right?
Yeah, you can.
I have to read. But I have to read subtitles.
Reading is fundamental. And I have to read subtitles too, because even though it's in Spanish, a lot of the local colloquialisms are different.
But still, Bruce, you got a gist of it. It's just like me watching a show from Britain. You know, it's a little different, but I can still turn my head and understand.
Watch it.
I have to watch TV. I don't do that. I hate it too.
I mean,
because
usually,
you know, like there's these really good shows on like Netflix. Like there was this really good French show and it was so juicy. I forgot what it was called, but it's still on there and it's like a good show. But you know how exhausting it was to have to sit and stare at the screen the entire time reading?
No.
And then I can't even pay attention to the cast because I'm like,
I do it all the time.
I just can't. I can't.
Well, even with like regular shows, I still have subtitles on or not subtitles. Yeah. Closed caption on.
You're one of those that have the closed caption. I used to do that when I was like 13.
Well,
for some reason, I went through this phase where I thought it was cool because it was new. I think it was back when it first came out. You remember when the TVs first started doing that?
I guess. Okay. I don't know. I was poor. So whenever I bought a TV, it was already
there. Shut up. We were 13.
So I don't know. I've always watched it. So to me, it's not exhausting. And it actually helps with your brain development. It
probably does.
Yeah.
But girl, I'm 35. My brain done.
I mean, you know, that helps with whenever you see something on social media not going off by the title and actually clicking and reading through.
No, it doesn't help.
Yeah, it does.
How?
Anyway, keeping on with Drag Race. yeah, watch it with subtitles. It'll help you out. And then you get to learn Spanish. So next time you go to a Tex-Mex restaurant, you'll be like,
bitch,
no.
You know what? I'm surprised I haven't learned it with my record of like with my track record of dating and everything else. Like,
yeah.
You would think I would be fluent in Spanish and I'm not.
Well, get to it. So in other news in the drag news, I did wanted to bring up that the Widow Von Du was arrested last week for domestic violence. Widow Von Du.
Who is that?
She was from season 11.
Which drag race is she?
Or I'm sorry, season 12. The one that aired during the pandemic. She was the one that was doing the splits when Nicki Minaj was there. She's from Kansas City.
I don't remember.
Oh my God. Anyway, so Widow Von Du was arrested for domestic violence and TMZ wrongfully reported that this was 4 days ago whenever it broke out that she was allegedly charged with domestic violence. But then there's a video of Widow Von Du being arrested in drag outside and saying that basically it was self-defense against her partner because they had become violent against them. And so it was self-defense. So she claims in the video, talking about privilege and racism because she is only being arrested for this, for being problematic and black, but that's not the case. And she says, and just because his ass got beat up because he would not leave, I'm being arrested, unquote. So not sure if Widow Von Du is still in jail or not, but allegedly the charges are because Widow punched and KO'd her partner, leaving him with injuries so severe he needed 14 stitches in his face and head. So
does
Widow was booked
out?
KO, like knocked out. Von Du was booked on first and second degree domestic assault. So we'll see how that develops. Hopefully, I mean, there's a video of the Widow Von Du being arrested.
We'll see how that develops.
Well, I mean, you know,
that's crazy.
I don't know. We don't have all the details. And so I'm not sure. She's been pretty silent on social media, which I'm sure that's kind of the right thing to do right now. So we'll see. Speaking of another person, of another drag queen who has not been silent on social media, we are talking about Tamisha Iman, who we have talked about a little bit, or Skamisha Iman, as Twitter has christened her. She went on to Twitter 4 hours ago to
Today?
Yeah, this was a post 4 hours ago, or earlier today, I guess, and saying, and the people that are wondering why Tamisha is snapping back at everyone that is coming for her, this is definitely not a black person who submitted this. It is some privileged human set to destroy me. It will not work, my love. I am not built to break. Purple heart emoji. And so what she's talking about is that somebody submitted a claim to the Business Better Bureau. Better Business Bureau, sorry. For the online purchases, an individual was scammed and lost $50,000. And it says, people online have purchased products, namely celebrity drag queen merch, such as shoes, t-shirts, etc., from Tamisha Iman's merch store in early February. It has been 5 months since this initial purchases, and she has not shipped any orders. This has affected almost all buyers, according to social media and Reddit. Every week she has sent a mass email telling all buyers that the products will be shipping soon. When I ask her for a tracking number, she does not send one. She has not replied to most people's emails. I tried contacting her through social media, but then she blocked me and threatened me in a direct message saying, you better watch what you post on my account. Locked, unquote. She also posted on social media threatening to charge buyers an extra $1,000 if they try to do a credit card chargeback. According to social media and Reddit, several other people have had this same experience. It does not seem like she has any plan to send the merchandise that was ordered. Thank you again for helping Better Business Bureau protect others from scams. Sincerely, the Better Business Bureau. So I guess now this legal entity is involved. Not sure what's happening. I know she had some issues with the merch not being shipped.
Is it because, I mean, it's possibly it's coming out of China and ship
that
time
could be it. But I mean,
China
at this point, it's just like kind of explain a little bit onto detail and not threaten people. I don't know. Like,
I know that is kind of weird. And she said that she's going to charge, but she can't do that, can she? If they do a chargeback on her credit card, she can't.
I'm not sure. I just feel like I don't know. Like at this point, it's just like, why just not provide like an email saying, you know what? There was some shipping errors and the product
refund
was not shipped or delayed.
One. She should give people a refund if they ask for one because of the delay.
Just give them a refund and just say, hey, unfortunately, the order has to be canceled. And once we have the products on hand,
you can redo the order.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I know, you know, it'll be a loss of money, but at this point, doing any more, it's not doing damage
control. She's
going to
have even more of a loss of money. Yeah,
exactly.
We're going to stop fucking with her.
Right.
Here's the deal, though. Not to be shady or a bitch, but I feel like she might be, I don't want to say that out here, because when she say it, it's like out there. And I mean no disrespect to her, but everything that I'm reading or hearing from you, it just sounds like she's kind of, there's just a lot of drama and it seems kind of like exhausting a little. Like it seems like
I think,
I don't know. Like
I know what you mean. Like I know what you mean. And it's not disrespect.
Like it's just always, every time she comes up now, it's like, oh my God, like, girl, like.
There's something always revolving around her and it's always kind of twisted. Like, oh, people are trying to bring me down. But I think in this case, like nobody's trying to bring you down. The customers just want their tracking number and an explanation of their product. These are people who are supporting your art. And these are people who are buying your products. You know what I mean? Like nobody's bringing you down. And if anything, they're lifting you up.
This makes me wonder, though, that Pride collection that she just like announced.
Oh,
this
the
week?
Trans collection. Also, there was some backlash on that saying that a cisgender gay male was profiting from transgender people. And that was
okay,
a
cut
reach.
Some slack for that because
okay,
Target
that was a reach. Yeah.
is doing the same thing.
Yeah, that was a whole reach.
yeah.
That was a whole reach. And to which I agree, but it was a reach and it was unnecessary. But in this case, like if somebody buys the product and it doesn't get it and they don't get it, like,
that's
are we
what I'm
back
saying.
To the
like, that
same
was my
spot.
Point in bringing it up. I'm like, are they going to get their product in time for Pride?
Right. I mean, you know, like
they might not get it till next Pride. Like, I mean, I'm just wondering. I mean, it's the way it sounds. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand. And I do see your point of, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of drama being around, you know, around this drag queen. And I know the saying that any publicity is good publicity, but at this point, I think it's far beyond publicity because you're fucking with people's money. So it's a little bit farther than that. Yeah. So, I mean, that's what we have, a little bit of drag news, I guess. All Stars is supposed to start. So once that ramps up, I'm going to be talking about
when
that.
When does that start?
It starts on the last week of June, I believe.
Oh,
so, or, yeah, but yeah, we'll have Drag Race for the next 3 months.
Okay. The time has come for the reality. Prostitution whore married 7 times.
I don't know who that is, but go off.
That was Teresa Giudice from The Real Housewives of New Jersey. I don't know if she said married 7 times, but she said like married 18 times or some shit like that. But anyways, in the reality report, if you've been watching The Real Housewives, racial tensions came up in The Real Housewives of New York during a dinner party at Luann's house in the Hamptons after Ebony tells the entire group that she probably has more education than anyone at the table. Which is technically true because she does.
But does she also have more student debt?
No, because she has money. So probably not.
You know, there's people with money always get arrested for like tax evasion or like something silly.
It's probably true because she does technically have more degrees and more education than the rest of them. But this only happened after Luann suggested that people who say words like dick and pussy and talk about sex usually aren't educated. This is all stemming because Ramona got offended that Ebony thought that she heard Ramona say that she could take a big dick. And Ebony apologized, and then at the next day where they were talking about it, and you know, Luann made that comment about like how people, and that's how she said, basically she's saying like, I got more education than anybody at this table. I talk like that. That doesn't mean anything. Education has nothing to do with you talking about sex. And it's true. It was a dumb comment by Luann. But Luann responded, because Ebony rose her voice a little, Ebony responded by calling Ebony an angry woman. And of course, being black, to Ebony, this sounded like angry black woman. Ebony does make a good point, though, because moments before this, Leah McSweeney got up from the table angry and called everyone except Ebony hoes, saying, in quote, you're a hoe, you're a hoe, you're a hoe, you're all hoes. And even told Ramona that her daughters have probably been sucking dick since they were 14. Yet none of the women labeled Leah, who is white, angry. She got up from the table and they just kind of like took it and was like, oh, wow. But I, in their defense, you could hear Ramona's mic saying that Leah was being, quote unquote, aggressive. Meanwhile, Ebony posted a video on Instagram this week before the show actually aired, saying that she is leaving social media for the next two episodes because of how intense and how much needed those two episodes are. She's hoping that everyone watches those episodes and takes something from them. She also mentioned that these episodes laid the foundation of a sisterhood she now has with those women. I think they needed to have this big racial conversation, which we still haven't seen all of it yet, because the next episode is going to continue into. So it's going to go deeper. And she's saying that that is what kind of brought her as being friends. Maybe some people understood how comments can be triggering when you call a black woman angry.
Those are called, I think, microaggressions.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like on the last episode when I said colored instead of person of color.
You bitch. That was a joke. And I think nobody got offended by that. I didn't.
I didn't get any. I knew you didn't mean anything,
it like so. That. I was just picking with you. Anyways, well. I think they're learning now that when you say things, it's kind of like what happened in Beverly Hills also this week. Might as well go into it. Beverly Hills this week, Garcelle brought up to Kyle Richards, you know, about the money thing, where last season, during the reunion, Kyle accused Garcelle of not paying a charity bill when she bid it like $5,000. Garcelle told Kyle, you know, if one of the white women had done this, would you had called them out on national TV? And then she explained to Kyle how triggering it is, because there's a stereotype amongst black people where they say that we don't pay our bills, or we don't tip, or we don't pay our rent or mortgages. And so she said that that's what was triggering for her. And Kyle, after she heard that, understood, and they made up. But it was like kind of one of those things where people are kind of learning that the words they say can trigger insecurities in other people that they don't even think about because they've never had to think about it.
Right.
You know, no one thinks about that. But I think as a black person, I think about that all the time. Like, you know, Garcelle made a good point. She said one time she went to a restaurant and didn't get served until everybody was getting served except her. And then when she finally got served, it was like, after she ate her meal, she got bad service. Do I tip or then she don't tip? You know, normally you wouldn't want to tip, right? They gave you poor service, but she had to tip them because she didn't want the stereotype on her. Oh, she was black. She wasn't going to tip anyway. And I mean, that happens. And you think about stuff like that, stuff that other people don't necessarily think about, you think about. And so I think that's what's coming up a lot in these shows that they're kind of integrating, because these are the Housewives franchises that had mostly white casts. And now that they're bringing minorities in, Crystal Menkoff, for example, with Beverly Hills, they're bringing up a lot of stuff that are making people like talk that they normally didn't have to talk about.
Right.
Your opinions on that are different. I mean, some people say that they don't like the shows now because they don't like how they're bringing the racial stuff into the shows. But then some people argue, you know, that's reality. And these things need to be talked about. This is a platform.
I feel like some of the shows, though, are a little bit of, you know, they are reality shows, but it's a fake reality within a reality show. Does that make sense? Because, first of all, you know, for a while, these shows were predominantly white women, white rich women, as you said. And so none of the subjects were brought up. And now it's like, well, you have to realize that not only white women are the only ones who are rich. you know? So you're bringing in people who of other backgrounds who are also wealthy, but then those women kind of live within a bubble. And it's like, we just want to have fun and not talk about this, but it's like, you can't really have fun because you're still being ignorant. And it doesn't mean that you're ignorant, but it's just that you're being ignorant at the moment. And you don't realize like the things that you do or the things that you say, how it affects other people, because
it's triggering those people and they're keeping quiet about it.
Because you've been in such a bubble for the longest time that you're just like, it doesn't affect me because it's never faced me.
And it's funny that you say that, Bruce, because Garcelle used those exact words. She said, like, speaking of the Beverly Hills cast, she said that people in Beverly Hills live in this bubble where when they see you, they say, oh, girl, that's a nice handbag. I love your Chanel. You know, it's all superficial. And like, and when they have to really get to know you, like, and they start, you know, then that's when you start having these like, And it's not like, you know, none of these people, like nobody thinks Kyle Richards is racist. I don't think she's racist at all. But it's just these things that when they don't live around minorities and you don't, and you're used to living around mostly people that look like you, you tend to not understand that sometimes you may say something that may trigger something. And it's not, you know, and some, and she, Garcelle was there to educate. But it's not really her job to educate, but she was there just to let Kyle know, this is how I felt. This is why I deleted you. And Kyle was good. Kyle understood. Kyle said it. She goes, now I understand why Garcelle deleted me off of Instagram. She said, now I understand. But
it works both ways, though. Like, so to your point, us as minorities, we're not supposed, it's not our job to teach other people that, you know, and unfortunately we have to. But then if they're not wanting to understand and change their behavior, then it's on them at that point. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, because you can only tell, you can tell them how you felt and then how they take it. And so far, no one has been, we haven't seen what happens in New York. But I think the girls in New York, you know, this was all filmed a while ago. They're in a good place now. And Ebony kind of insinuated that because of these two episodes, they're really important in this late. So I think they took something from that and it made them kind of open their eyes up and they have respect for each other now, which they wouldn't have had if they had brushed it under the rug. But we'll see what happens on that next episode.
I don't want to bring in, I forgot to mention, though, something like that happened in Drag Race last episode, because one of the queens who was accused of doing blackface a couple of years ago.
Oh, that one, the Australia cast.
Yeah, so RuPaul brought it up on the episode, and he's in Ru, and Ru said, you know, they were, and so they were about to be eliminated, or RuPaul said, it has been brought up to my attention that you did blackface a couple of years ago, and you know, the queen talked about it and said how she's learned from it and blah, blah, blah. There was some backlash though, because on this show from some of the queen, from some of the drag queens saying how, well, Ruth said, I understand that you did and maybe you didn't know any better, but basically saying, like, I forgive you, or I forgive you doing it, just don't do it again.
Right.
And so, but then there was an episode on Drag Race UK 2 when he got mad for somebody wearing H&M. So they were saying, so somebody wearing H&M is more, it's okay, it's more looked down upon than some,
it's
queen.
It's triggered him more than the blackface, is it?
Right. And so some people like saw that. But coming from RuPaul, like if you listen to some of this podcast.
Well, you talk about H&M, which one? You're not talking about the dress incident.
Yeah, it was
the
dress.
UK.
So some people are still hung up on that.
I don't think that had anything to do with the.
But you see what I'm talking about?
Okay, I get it. I thought you were talking about the racial thing that the H&M had. You know, a few years ago, H&M got in trouble for a little black boy with the banana.
The monkey shirt or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, wearing the monkey shirt. Yeah. So, I got it now. But they were saying that he got more upset and you cuss out that queen because she wore off the rack dress than she did because this other person did blackface.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know.
So,
yeah,
it was just something to kind of add to those
Yeah. And that's what's been going on in the reality sphere of Bravo lately, is these racial discussions have been coming up, and they haven't all been black and white. You know, they've had like these Asian cast members coming in and kind of turning up things with Dallas and also Beverly Hills. And speaking of Beverly Hills, that since we've been in there lately, ABC, girl. ABC just announced a documentary all about Erica Jayne and her relationship with Tom Girardi. And it looks like the tea kettle has spilt and fallen over and broken into a million pieces. The documentary airs June 14th on ABC and Hulu. And also, you know, even though Lisa Vanderpump, yeah, we're going to talk about her. Even though Lisa Vanderpump is gone from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, she still has drama. Kyle Richards is telling her it's time to move on with the sleepy face emoji. This comes after Vanderpump released a statement saying, "I didn't dine and dash like Kyle, who has always tried to make me look bad. She should keep her nose out of my business." Kyle told her to get over all drama. Apparently this is happening because Kyle and someone else, somebody else, apparently tried to dine and dash at one of Lisa Vanderpump's restaurants. Like, they refused to pay. And Kyle is basically telling Lisa, girl, you're not on the show no more. Quit trying to stay relevant. But, you know, we love Lisa Vanderpump. And that's all I have for your reality report.
Reality report.
Reality with a tea kettle. Or that's a cocktail, but same thing.
That's Charlie. Since Charlie got fired, so well, he wasn't fired.
Charlie, he was just on leave of absence due to coronavirus. We didn't have the funds to pay him, but now that things are opening back up, there you go, Charlie. We could afford to pay for his liquor tab again
and pass around the drink and sip all around. Yeah. So
sip, bitch, sip it up. There you go. I know it's good, huh? Oh, my God. So whilst Charlie's finishing that vodka soda, you know, 90 Day Fiance, have you been keeping up?
I have ish. Yeah, I think.
Okay. So I'm on the latest episode, which by the time this airs won't be the latest episode. But I did get to see a preview of next week's episode. But, you know, right now they're going that they went to Tulsa.
Yes, I got it.
Yeah, what's her name? I can't think of her name.
She's from
Ukraine.
Ukraine. She's from the coldest part of Ukraine, and her husband from Squim, Washington,
Sequim or something. Yeah, Washington. Their mom lives in Tulsa.
Sequim.
Yeah, what Sequim. Is her name?
Natalie.
Natalie, yeah, she's there, and they're like making her be a lumberjack. She's like shoveling firewood.
I was trying to figure out where her mom lives. I think her mom might live like in Broken Arrow or Claremore or one of those little towns
outside of. Yeah. I can't tell.
But I saw the Tulsa airport. I was like, oh, I know that place.
Oh yeah, all empty with three people in it. Every time I've flown into Tulsa, it's always the same. I was like, there's never anybody in this airport. And that was exactly the same when on the show. They flew in, there was like three people looking like, oh, there was a camera. And then that was it. Did you see them? They were looking, they were like staring, and then they blurred their faces out.
Oh, well, you know, if you look at any different there, they stare anyway. So whatever.
They weren't different looking for
take
Oklahoma.
Take a picture with your flip phone. It'll last longer. So.
Biatch.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you feel about her and the mom not getting along? Now, you know, she's not getting along with the mom because the mom told her, the mom wanted to have one of her friends, you know, interject the wedding when, you know, when they say like, if anybody has reason why these two should not get married. And she told one of her friends to do it and her friend didn't do it. But then Natalie like found out. So now he's like holding it. And then like preview next episode, Natalie's saying everything's going good. And then they're cooking in the kitchen. And then Natalie is like, your mom called me a hooker. And then he's like, mom, did I call you? Yes, she did. She called me a hooker. And I'm like, we didn't hear that. It wasn't on camera.
I know. So I don't know. So, like it
makes me,
I don't know if she's
blind,
taking things out of context or is she just blowing them up because she knows it makes good TV at this point.
I don't know. And then she says like the lady's like telling her like she wants to be, the mom told her like she should be a translator. Remember? Like, she should do translation.
Yes.
And then she goes, I'm not going to do translation because I want to be happy. I want to do whatever I want to do and be happy. I deserve to be happy. You tell that, you act like my work is not a job. You tell that to Johnny Depp and then some other actor.
What does she do? Oh, she does her cooking thing, right? Is that what she does?
She does this, like, sexual, I don't know what she's doing now. She's been doing some sexual thing on YouTube, making cooking, talking about how she loves cucumbers. Girl, we know you love them cucumbers, but so she, you know, she'd be like, "Oh, I love cucumber. I just want to. It just makes me so."
She knows what she's doing. So she knows what she's doing.
So when she goes, yeah. Wait, and then she'll be like, "Oh, I love carrots. They just make." And then she'll like sniff it like really hard, and she'll be like, "I just love trees." And then she's a hot mess. Oh my God. And
I feel like this season is full of hot messes, because then you have like Libby. Did you hear about Libby's dad reaching out or DMing?
Yes, I just heard that this morning about him in somebody's DM.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, well, maybe he was trying to offer him a job.
Yeah, scamming people, or like, because you know, they're accused of their businesses are accused of not paying or like evicting people out or some stuff like that unnecessarily. So, and they look like the type of people that would do some crazy shit like that. So I'm not putting it past that. And I don't know, once these people start to get famous, then, or think that they're semi-famous, quote unquote,
I think they've already hit that point.
You think
they were like acting like this when they acted like this their first season? When they got the family involved?
I feel
involved,
like it's more enhanced more. Or it's
no, I'm saying their family.
Yeah.
Their family have been acting kind of like they wanted, like they're the Kardashians since they first got on TV. Like they were acting like they want to be the Kardashians so bad.
They were
bad.
Like spicy mayo.
Girl. Oh, that was a loud one.
I know. Yeah, I mean, they're such a hot mess. I feel like at this point, they're kind of overplaying or blowing up some of the issues, I guess, they have. Like when Andre...
I know, like, I'm ready for this episode where she pushes them on the beach, on the boat.
Remember, oh, is that this episode that's coming up?
It's coming out.
Okay.
It will already be out by the time this airs, but it's coming on tomorrow, actually, in Sunday, June 6th. That episode where she pushes them. She said, you're not going to talk about mom. And she finally stood up for Andre. And now, like, you know, like, oh my God. I just want to see Libby, like, push that bitch over the thing. Because this girl has been coming at, I feel like, here's the deal with Libby and Andre. Andre always, like, he has good intentions, but he doesn't know how to do. He's not good. He's not socially. He needs to be educated socially on how to.
And I feel like it has to
do
a lot with culture,
with
because
his culture, maybe?
Yeah. Because he'd be like, "Here, I brought you flowers. I hope you you better like them,
smell them, like, you know." And then he'll be like, and then if you don't smell them, he'll beat your ass. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, is that a culture thing?
I don't know. Like, is he beating her? I don't think he's beating her.
I don't think he's beating her, but he just gives off that vibe. Like,
I know.
No, he's not beating her. Nobody's saying he's doing domestic violence. I just feel like he has that thing. Like, I'm kind of intimidated by him. I'm scared of him. Like, I would think he would be like,
yeah, he looks intimidating, really, like, but to your point, he does have good intentions. And also, I feel like he's sort of playing into this fake drama with the family now, because it's like, it makes for good TV, right? And then
it does, but
so
I was happy to hear the dad admit that his kids were giving him a hard time. So you haven't seen this episode yet. You know how they do that 30-minute preview?
The confessional?
No, the 30-minute preview on Fridays where they...
Yeah, they play the preview for...
So in that 30 minutes, the dad says...
Oh, that's what it is. I always try to figure out, like, I was like, why is this episode incomplete? Like...
Yeah, and then so they give you a 30-minute... Yeah, it's a preview of the next episode for 30 minutes. Bitch, get in it. Get into it. Oh, my God. I think I'm going to go to the Daiquiri Shack today. Anyways, I just thought of that random thought. So ghetto. But yeah, for those of you who don't know, the Daiquiri Shack is a place in the ghetto of Houston. Well, in one of the hoods of Houston.
I wouldn't call it a hood or the ghetto. It's into another neighborhood.
Yeah, let's say
that the city chooses to not
ignore.
The city chooses to ignore, and it always floods when it rains because the systematic racism is like.
I don't know about that. I just think that the drainage is bad and they don't clean the drain pipes out on that side of town.
Because the government doesn't care. Local.
But anyway, the Daiquiri Shack, how did this turn political? The Daiquiri Shack.
Anything is political.
Yeah, you can make everything political. But the Daiquiri Shack is this nice little place in the hood that I like to go sometimes, and you can drive through Daiquiri. Carl. I'm going to go there. But anyways.
Get yourself some Daiquiri.
I forgot what I was talking about now.
You were talking about the dad admitting that the kids are leeches.
Yeah, he's a bitch. He did not call them leeches.
That's basically what they fucking are.
So, okay, Andre finds out that he's going to get deported if he can't keep a job because his immigration thing is coming up where they're going to do an interview and he has to make sure he keeps a job. So he pours that sob story onto the dad like, I'm going to get deported. And he told him that he's going to take Libby and the baby with him back to Moldova if he gets deported. Like, Libby's coming with him. Yeah. So the dad is like, oh, Lord, he's scared now that now he wants to make sure he works with them. And so now the dad is having second thoughts about forcing Andre to like work with the kids. So he's like, I know that they are making it hard for him to work. So he made this thing now where Andre is only going to work with him. So he's going to be in the office with him. Cause you know, that blow up happened when Andre was like tearing down the refrigerator for some reason.
And they're like, why are you tearing it down? We were going to reuse it. And then she's like, you're taking my money. You're fucking with my money.
Well, and all you have to do is like roll it out the house.
Yeah. Basically what you need to do is fix your hair.
Which one are you talking about?
The sister.
Oh, she wasn't there at that moment. Remember, this is with the brother.
Was.
Remember?
Oh, it was I'm confusing it. Yes, yeah. It was the brother.
She came when they were looking at the house, remember? Because she thought somebody wanted her listing. Girl, somebody wants your listing.
Somebody said that the brother looks like he's always about to burp or he's drunk up, or something.
Yeah, he looks like a drunk guy that's about to burp. And he does. And you see his face. He's like, oh, you can't see me, people listening. He's always like. That's what he looks like. He does look like that. Anyway, was true. That was in the trash talk group. Yeah,
it was. It was. That's where I saw it, and I was like, "Oh, he does."
Okay, there was something we were talking about before we started recording. Remember? The Seeking Sister. No, it was the sisters.
Extreme sisters.
Extreme sisters.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The two from Australia where they're like trying to get pregnant. Have you been keeping up with that? You've been keeping up with that, right? By the same dude.
I've been keeping up. Yeah.
And then he has the nerve to say something like, they were talking about wedding plans and the production asked him like, and he was like, well, most people are already nervous, but I got two of them going down my throat or down my neck. But they wanted to get married or something. I don't know.
Here's so we want to get married. Yeah.
We want to get married. Yeah. We have to say it together, Bruce, like them. Like, one, two, three. We want to get married.
Yeah. But they finish his other sentences. So she's like, he's trying to get me pregnant. You know how they talk? Did you watch the episode whenever, like, I guess they're asking the mom and the mom is like a tea reader or she pours into, because they're from Armenia or...
Australia.
No, but
oh, you mean originally?
They immigrated from another country.
Yeah, the mom said
that she reads the tea, and so they drink the tea, and the leftover she reads it, and she's like, "Yeah, I see a kid or some shit like that," and she's like, "Oh yeah, a mom, she's always pretty accurate with this readings." Yeah, like I kind of like how they like I love how they handle them. I don't know if it's handle themselves or how they just present themselves.
Like, yeah, like how they, their demeanor, the way they interact and
they're
talk.
They're so like.
Yeah, they're chill. They're scary,
but then they're so like, kind of like ignorant about things. Like kinda, whenever they went to the dentist, she's like, but if you take her teeth out, then I won't have the same amount. And then the doctor's like, but you need that tooth. I But there's that other, there's the other sisters, the one who are like in their late 30s.
I just want to bring this up real quick before we get away from them. The fact that they got tried to get pregnant at the same time, and then he had sex with both of them. And then this scene cuts to them laying on their backs with their legs up against the wall, and they're both trying to drain the semen to their eggs. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
And they were like, we have to get pregnant at the same time.
Yeah.
And then they were eating pineapples. And then she's like, yeah, we have to eat pineapples. Yeah, because I think that pineapples are. And I was like, girl, I just watched a whole season of Real Housewives of New Jersey. And I think Teresa told us that the pineapples make your vagina taste sweeter. I don't think it has anything to do with the baby. And they didn't even know why they were eating the pineapple. They were just eating it because one of them read something.
And they have to have the same amount of chunks.
Chunk has to be the same size. Yeah. So they were like, Mammy, is this the same size as your? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, like that. Yeah, this one's the same size. We should eat this one. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, they're so fucking weird. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should start like doing that. Yeah. My God. And when she was like cutting the carrots, and then they have to like do the same hand motion. So one is like actually shredding the carrots with the grater. You know, she's like grating the carrots to shred them. And then the other one's next to her doing the same thing like this. And it looks so weird. Like, I just think it's so odd.
I mean, I feel like they've been together for so long. You know, whenever you have that kind of bond with a sister or something like that, I feel like I feel like the ones that they're pushing really hard, it's the sisters from Oklahoma.
Is that the one that with the ones dating the young guy? He's no, like 25.
I don't know where something. She. I don't know what those are, but they're always yelling. And one of the sisters.
You're talking about the Oklahoma. Okay, I know who you're talking. Yeah. They're the cute ones. I know they're kind of pretty, right?
They're whatever. Like they're trying to make drama out of it, but it's like I live there. I know that's not drama. That's just that's just reality. Like your boyfriend is a drug addict. Like you're pregnant by him. It's every day. The other sisters that are like. She's like 36 and the boyfriend's like 23 or something. And they got into an argument.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. They're from Oklahoma?
They're not from Oklahoma,
right? Yeah.
No. They're from like Pennsylvania or something like that. But
they're annoying. The other sister's annoying. And then she's like, I don't get the vibe. She goes, my vibe. Is there something like, bitch, you just trying to start shit is what it is. Like, she's always talking about like the vibes
are
off.
That's your fucking
vibe. Yeah, she's problematic. Thank you for that word. She's problematic. She blames it on the vibes. Talking about she's getting bad vibes from him. I mean, no, girl, you just a shit starter and you like drama. And
she's probably like jealous because she's single. And the sister's like dating this guy and they're trying to have a conversation.
The other sister told her, remember they kind of said that they do it to each other? Cause she kind of said like, she's the same way, basically called her out. So I was like,
That is like so exhausting and problematic. Can you imagine
just dysfunctional?
Yeah. I mean, but if they're getting money for it to be dysfunctional, then I guess that's their own criteria, whatever. So, I like the sisters that are trying to move to Florida.
Tampa. Yes. Is it Tampa?
I think it's either Tampa or something, but
Orlando.
Is it Orlando? It is Orlando. The husband comes in and she's like, what are you talking about, Orlando? She's like, I don't know, no Orlando.
And then she's trying to like find the husband's trying to find the other sister. A man, and then they find this random guy. And then
I think it was random too.
Like, I think he called up one of his friends who he hadn't talked to in a long time. Hey, you want to come on TV? You know what I mean? Just pretend to like her.
It was so awkward, but it's a and crazy he was show.
Talking about all this weird. Oh yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's a crazy show. So if you like trash TV, catch that on TLC. What is it?
Extreme Sisters and
90 Day Fiancé.
90 Day Fiancé. Happily
Ever After. Yeah.
Didn't you have something you wanted to mention for Pride?
Given that it's Pride Month, just kind of wanted to mention that today is 40 years of the history of AIDS, I guess, or this weekend. So it marks the 40 years since the first case of AIDS were reported in the US, making the beginning of the HIV/AIDS pandemic. So, you know, just kind of some back into some information on it. So to school the children or teach the children or whoever's listening, it is thought that HIV spread was from chimpanzees to humans around the 1920s, although HIV was discovered in the US in the 70s. Today, over 1 million cases are reported globally each year, but early on the LGBT plus community, especially gay and bisexual men and trans women, were disproportionately impacted in the West. And we saw this, I don't know if you've been watching or if you ever watch Post, they kind of touch on that. During the 70s and the 80s, whenever that was happening, they were burying all of these bodies because nobody wanted to touch them into what's called Love Island out in New York. So the first case of AIDS was reported in 1981 among men in Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York. By the end of the year, there were 337 reported cases. And that back then it was known as gay-related immune deficiency. So 130 people had died. 4 years later, at least one reported AIDS case in every region of the world. By the end of 1985, there were over 20,000 cases in the U.S. So a lot of famous celebrities have passed away from AIDS, as we know. So, for example, Freddie Mercury, Halston, which we talked about last week. There were also a lot of celebrities who helped with the pandemic. And so, for example, Princess Diana, she opened the first HIV ward in the British hospital in 1987. And so she was famously photographed. There's photographs of her handing out and holding hands with AIDS patients because, you know, back then people thought that it was spread by contact or, you know, they did not want to become close to anybody who was infected because there was a lot of misinformation and a lot of stigma. Also in 1987, the American FDA approved the anti-HIV drug AZT, the first treatment for HIV. So simultaneously, activist group ACT UP New York was set up with Larry Kramer as a founding member. In 1989, they chained themselves to the NYC protesting AZT's high price because, as we know, pharma, even to this day, it's still super expensive. So eventually the new treatments became more available. In 1995, highly active antiretroviral treatment called HAART was introduced, and it brought down the death rates. However, in poor countries like Africa and Asia, or I'm sorry, continents, we're now the region struggling with those new cases. And as we see, Africa is one of the continents that has been affected by this pandemic. AIDS related deaths began to fall in 2004, but many LGBTQ plus people are still feel trauma from losing generation. We basically lost a generation and we basically lost a lot of people. The stigma remains widespread. Although now, like I'm seeing on TV, like, medication kind of announced, like if you have a cold type of thing or, you know, for PrEP. So that's kind of changing a little bit. And one thing to mention that because of President Obama, actually, it wasn't until 2009 that he lifted the ban travel for HIV plus people entering the US, 22 years after its introduction. So that kind of moved the needle a little bit of things. Also in 2012, the US approved PrEP, which is a daily pill that reduces the chances of getting HIV from sex by 99.9%. So this means that a person, and the antiretrovirals now work to also, you become, even though you have the virus, you become, you cannot transmit it if you're an antiretroviral,
right?
Huh? Undetectable is what it's called.
Yeah.
And so there's no way for you to pass this to anybody else, even having unprotected sex. Even if you're fucking unprotected, there you go. And so despite the advances in treatment and prevention, gay men are still barred from donating blood in many countries, even though the science suggests they can do so safely. I mean, you know, we have drug addicts who are straight or have not, quote unquote, have sex with, you know, same gender people, but they are able to donate. So there's a stigma. So some numbers just to kind of reflect on, since 1981, 34.7 million people have died from AIDS related causes. Where are we today? 36 37.6 million have globally are living with HIV. 1.5 million became newly infected with HIV by 2020. And 73% of all people living with HIV have access to treatment. So it is a battle that we're still dealing with. Fortunately, you know, there are more and far better medications out there. But I think a lot of people, especially the younger generation, kind of take this for granted, because a lot of things that we have now kind of, you know, came from that. Also, for example, the a lot of the vaccines for other treatments have also come from, you know, the testing that has been done from HIV research, and that accidentally has been discovered by that. So yeah, just a little bit of history on that, and just to not forget some of the stuff that, you know, where we came from and where we're at now, because of a lot of people died. So don't take shit for granted, bitches.
Sweetie.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to mention? Anything else that you're watching? I am watching Legendary. I don't know. It's on Showtime Plus. It's about the ballroom scene. I think I brought it up. I am on the 7th episode of the 2nd season. It is great.
You said Showtime Plus.
Did I say Showtime Plus? HBO Max. My bad.
It's just funny how people put plus.
It's like on that, Paramount that, Plus. No,
but that is like, no, the thing is, that is like, it's a sign of the times. Because everybody has a plus, and they just put a plus in front of their thing, and then they can charge you an extra $10 a month for it, bitches. Whatever.
I mean, get into it, right?
You knew I was going to get triggered.
You were going to get triggered.
You're like, triggered.
It was the plus for me.
It was the plus for me. Because if you had just said Showtime, I wouldn't have thought of that. But when you said Showtime Plus, bitch, that was a trigger.
I was on a whole rant for about Showtime, or not Showtime, but like just this. But yeah, it is on HBO Max. And is there anything else that you're watching or anything else that you wanted to mention?
No.
Okay. Well,
I think I've mentioned all of my shows.
Cool. Where can people find us then?
No.
Yeah. Or do you at want home. Me to say at home?
Yeah. Can find us at home. Actually, you can find us on social media if you feel like it. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. We're on Showtime Plus, and we are also on Facebook at Press 2 Podcast. You can also catch us at our hotline that I accidentally gave out the wrong area code last week. Oopsies. The area code is actually 832, not 281. So it's 832-390-0279. Again, that's 832, not 281, 339-0279. Again,
yeah, and yesterday, without and not mentioning yesterday, it,
832-390-0279.
Last week when you mentioned it, I did kind of catch it, but then I was like, wait, did we?
Like, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I caught it when I listened to the episode, and I was like, oh shit, when I was editing it, and I was like, oh, yeah. I said the wrong number.
Whose number did you give out?
So I'm not going to call it. I don't know. Some hoe.
You should call it and be like, sorry, this is a podcast hotline.
Oh my God. I said 281. I was like, oh my God. No, it's 832. Well, all these fucking area codes. There's like four area codes. So I'm like, but I don't know why I said 281. I think I was thinking Mike Jones.
Mike Jones. 281-334-8004.
All his were 281. Yeah. And so this was 832.
Hit me on the low. But yeah, call, tell your people about the podcast if you like listening to it, subscribe. And we're almost to our 1 year. We should do something fun for 1 year.
You should. We should go Cabo.
We should go where?
Cabo.
Oh, I don't know her. Anyway, well, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Bye.